Welcome back to Study with Friends. This week we are continuing our series on refining fire and focusing on how God uses it to purify us as followers of Christ. If you would like to follow along, be sure to go to our website, studywithfriends.org, and download the free study guide. If you've missed any of the other parts of this series, you can also find our audio there, along with other series. We believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you're new to the Bible, curious but not ready to go to church, this is a way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you can gain something new. Either way, we hope you'll find something in today's study that blesses you. Now, here are Holly and the ladies discussing part four of Refining Fire.
Let's move forward a tiny bit based on 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, and tell me what clearly is stated in this scripture as the intended result of the test and refining by fire. What does it say in that verse? We're not extrapolating at all. We're actually just restating what God said. What is the intended result of refining by fire?
It's praise and glory and honor of the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Can I refer back in Isaiah 48:9-11? God says, "For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? For my glory, I will not give to another." So if you put 1 Peter 1:6-7 right next to Isaiah 48:9-11, God's being very clear here. In fact, when I typed this up, I had to go back and check to see if I accidentally put "for my own sake" in there twice. He said it twice. Mm-hmm. For my own sake, I do it. My glory, I will not give to another. And then he says in 1 Peter 1:6-7, "Your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ," which means praise and glory and honor to Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ will be revealed through the tested genuineness of your faith. Tested. I'll give you an example. I have a dear friend who's struggling with an extremely dire diagnosis. And he keeps saying to me, "What is God doing?" And he's a super strong Christian, which, by the way, reminds me that doesn't matter how strong you are going into it, he's going to break you down to teach you inside of it. And he keeps coming back to this. And I keep coming back to this because what my friend doesn't understand is he's so deep in it, he doesn't see what's going on around him. How people are astonished by his faith, how the witness of his faith, even as I share it to people who have never met him, have texted me back. So I have my girlfriends that I text and I'm like, "I need you to pray for so-and-so," whatever. And one of my friends texted me back, she has never met him. And she said, "I'm so blessed by the faith of this man in the middle of this trial. I am blessed," she said to me. And I thought, well, there you go. He's showing the tested genuineness of my friend's faith, that even in questioning, "What are you doing, God?" he still trusts you must be up to something good because that's who you are. "I don't see it. I don't feel it. None of this looks good." He talks to me about leaving his 9-year-old daughter. She's 9. He's like, how am I okay with that? And in that same conversation says, "I accept it. If that's what God's calling me to do, if it's time for me to die, I accept that. I accept that God has something good in that for me and for my family." And then we weave back and forth and he's like, "But it's hard, Holly. I don't want to leave my family." And I just look at him and I'm like, he's even witnessing to me, even as he's asking me to help him and pray for him. That's what this is about, you guys. This is about somebody who says, "This is insanity, but I have peace that even though I can't see a single thing that makes sense or will feel right, God's up to something and I accept it." I have, by secondhand experience, known 2 moms who stood up at their daughter's funeral to share the gospel. 20-something daughter murdered. And issues forgiveness to the murderer at the funeral, which, by the way, doesn't happen very long after the death. This is the witness of the tested genuineness of faith that is revealing Jesus Christ. Here's a more mundane example. I was at that conference with my team from work, not all of whom are saved. So I'm walking through this conference, and of course, God is so good. So we meet this guy randomly who's talking about how he's witnessing at his college in the middle of chaos. It has to do with race relations, and this woman that I was walking through the conference with is of a different race than I am. And she was just shaking her head as we were walking away. And she's like, I just don't understand how a person can do that, how a person can reach across hate with love. I said, you know what, sweetie? That's Jesus Christ. That's what that is. That Jesus Christ lays down and builds a bridge over hate. That is love. And this guy had said that. He was like, I have to be a witness to Jesus Christ. So I'm standing here, this woman who I've worked with for years, who of course I've shared what life with the Lord looks like. And it was just another opportunity to show the tested genuineness of faith, to reveal Jesus Christ. So when someone at a funeral where the mom is like, how is she standing up there? Then we reveal it is by Jesus Christ. It's not through our own strength, but by the strength imparted to us through the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ. This verse is insane, right? Mm-hmm. How can you walk away from this? It's a game changer. Okay, so we were talking before about, oh, does that mean I'm not a good Christian if I don't show the tested genuineness of my faith, if I show doubt? But Alisa, you have already tackled that. So will you circle back to that? Because I think it's important to know that even if we doubt, even if we don't look like we're having a good witness, he's still being revealed. Can you explain how that might look?
Okay, so it's interesting to me because when I think about the things that we've gone through as a family over maybe the last 2 years, I have this memory. I don't know when I said this to my husband, but when my kids, they were all at some point, you know, teenagers, and we lost the house at the shore, and I went back to work for full time after 17 years, that's been a very, very big adjustment. All of these things kind of converging at the same time. I said to him one day, I feel like it's the end of a season, you know, and we're moving into a new season that's just going to be a trial. It's just hard. And I remember that day. And looking back on it now, we've been through a lot. I mean, it's relative. You know, I don't have a child with cancer. I haven't lost anybody. But it's been hard. A lot of little things all on top of each other can feel like a big trial. And I don't think of my faith as any less than it has been before. It's just that it's a season where I don't have, like we talked about, the on fire feeling. I'm definitely not on fire. I'm enduring. But God is faithful. And I don't know if I answered your question, but that's how I see it.
You did, because you're being honest. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that the tested genuineness of our faith can still be evident in the down times. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you can say, I'm enduring through the strength of the Lord, and I'm not really feeling good about this right now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't think that you have to put on a shiny, happy face. In fact, I think that's the wrong thing to do. I think you should cry and gnash your teeth and whine and fuss and feel all the feelings you're feeling and say, but I know my Jesus, and I know that he's beside me, even though I'm lost. I'm utterly lost right now.
Yeah.
That can... You know, and then when you become found again, you share that too. But I think that we can reveal Jesus Christ through the tested genuineness of our faith by just being genuine, mm-hmm. being honest, being transparent, and saying, this stinks. I don't have any answers. Like, I have to tell you guys, I hate it when people say God doesn't give us anything we can't handle. Because in fact, that's the opposite of the truth. God gives us things we can't handle so that we know we can't handle stuff and we need him.
That's right.
And so these trite things that we say as Christians to each other during these refining, like your life is on fire. My life is on fire. So you walk into someone's life and they're like, I have a friend, you know her too. I don't say names on this. This is not appropriate, but I have a friend who, her husband left her about, oh my gosh, I don't know, 5 years ago, 7 years ago. Unexpectedly, after 20 years of marriage, she finished launching her kids to college this year. And as she was taking her baby girl to college, her last, you know, child, her best friend died. And I feel like how utterly alone she must feel right now. And I'm not going to call her and say, don't worry, God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. Thinking I'm a good Christian, reminding her that God, I don't know what that even, I'm honestly, I can't even understand why people would say that. But they think they're being a good Christian when they say that, like shiny, happy optimism, when the truth is this stinks. Mm-hmm. It just stinks.
Yep.
And you can say that this stinks. And all I can tell you is that I'm praying for you. I know that God's not leaving you. It doesn't matter if you can feel him or see him. I'm not going to leave you. And you'll get through it. And that's the truth. And that's genuineness. That's a test of genuineness of faith. As much as, if not more than, someone who can stand on the mountaintop and say, let me tell you what God brought me through. Because those mountaintop experiences are much more unusual than the valley experiences. A lot of us spend a lot of time in the valley before we get up to that mountaintop, if we ever do.
Yeah.
And so it's not fair or appropriate to act like faith and the revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ can only be at the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. It's just not the truth. We live in the valley. And you guys testified that mountaintop experience, that on fire experience. Not everybody even ever has one of those that they would say, mm-hmm. oh, that was a moment I was at the mountaintop. Some of us are just sitting like on the hillside, spending our life with Jesus in a quiet place, right? Like we're not in the valley. We're not on the mountaintop. We're just, you know, on the hillside, which by the way is where sheep graze and God is the shepherd. Okay, I just had a visual, so sorry.
Yeah, I think I much more admire the authentic Christian that's crying out why versus, oh, you know, we're all just going to be happy, shiny people. You know? I much more appreciate your authenticity. And, you know, I feel more comfortable in a room with people that are authentic than, you know. Right. I wouldn't fit in the room where everybody's shiny and happy.
Yeah.
You know, it just wouldn't work. But
interesting what you just said. Do you think that we alienate people when we pretend that our faith is always unicorns and rainbows?
Yeah, I think we do.
Mm. I do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we're actually discouraging the gospel in their lives instead of encouraging it.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
I remember back when we were in MOPS, I can say Cindy's name because she's part of this ministry and I know she wouldn't mind. Our friend Cindy, there was the leadership committee, they called it steering team. And I was asked to do a job on that steering team. And I was like, I can't do that. I'm not ready. I don't have my life together. And she was like, oh, yeah, just be that, do that. You are ready. Because if you can just show people that you don't have your life together, you're going to do a lot better than if you wait, which, by the way, you never will have your life together.
Yeah, the next question is, when will I have it together? And the answer, everybody knows, you never get there.
Yeah. And so in serving, in preaching, in teaching, the best thing we can do is say, I'm just like everyone else. Every once in a while, my husband will say to me, he knows I'm just like everybody else. Let me assure you. He knows that I am a worm, like it says in the Bible. He loves me. I'm not saying he ever called me a worm, but he knows me, right? So, but even every once in a while, he'll say to me, I need you to pray about this and tell me what God says. And I'm like, I will pray with you, But there's like, because I have a more mature faith than somebody else, or because I know how to find my way into the presence of the Lord and listen to him, that I'm not special. I've just practiced. I'm no different. Like, you go get that. Go get that. You go get that. You and I are the same. He loves you the same. He wants to talk to you the same. And in the mentality of, oh, but that one, I mean, you could name five important people of the faith and you could decide you're not as good as they are at whatever they do. But God will raise each of us up out of our trials to reveal Jesus Christ in the way he sees fit for our journey, in our time, for works that are fitted for us uniquely. So you're not Billy Graham. You still have hearts to win in your circle of people. And so the revealing of Jesus Christ through the genuineness of our faith and tested genuineness of our faith is for us uniquely suited to where we are. And there's no better or worse because each one matters to the kingdom. So yeah, authenticity, transparency, truth. I'm not saying you can't be happy. We have joy. That's a whole other conversation.
That goes without saying. I just, to pretend that everything's honky-dory all the time, is a false picture.
And it alienates. That's right. It alienates those of us who think what you just said, I wouldn't fit in.
Yeah. I mean, church is supposed to be a hospital. Mm-hmm. A bunch of sick people.
That's right. Okay. So we talked a little bit about circumstances that we would call refining fire. I think we just talked about the next question, which was how would you describe the connection between refining fire and glory to God? I think we just did that. Do you have more you want to say about that? You can take a look at your homework if you want. So the question was, how would you describe the connection between refining fire and glory to God? We talked about that.
Yeah, I think we got to the place where we realized we were softer and pliable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also that it's a partnership, that the core scripture says it's by the tested genuineness of your faith that glory and honor reveal Jesus Christ for him.
I have a note here in my homework where I put... We turn to him during our struggles and we learn that life is not just about ourselves and our contentment, but we should always be pointing towards him. Mm-hmm. It's more about what does God want? What does he want for me? And how do I fellowship more deeply with him?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't claim to know why we're going through the trials that we're going through, but it has certainly given me a perspective which I didn't have before, which is, the end goal of life, it's like we said, it's good to be happy, it's good to have contentment, it's good to, be blessed and find, the things that bring you happiness. And God certainly is in them, but that is not the end goal. So I'm learning that I can endure, and that He is with me and has His hand on me, and we're getting through.
And that happiness isn't the goal. The goal is glorifying Him.
That's right.
Perfect. So this is these next two questions are really challenging. The first question is, why do you think God chooses this method to refine his followers? By the way, let's be clear. Fire is not the only method he uses to sanctify us. It's not. He sanctifies us through his word. He sanctifies us in a lot of other ways, but this is one way. Okay, let's define sanctification. Sanctification is making us more like Jesus. It's the process by which God changes us and grows us and prunes us into the image of his son. That's the sanctification process. And so I shouldn't use Christian buzzwords without defining them because that's not cool. So if we talk about the refining, there's a lot of ways we can be refined. I'm constantly refined by the word, constantly. And that's not a fire of testing and trial and dramatic experiences. That's just me showing up, like we talked about before, and allowing God to do the work in me. So a little bit gave you a lead into what I think is the answer. But why do you think God chooses this method to refine his followers? I think there's probably a couple reasons, but what do you guys think?
I think none of us would willingly jump into the fire. I mean, we're self-preservationists. Like you said, we like to be comfortable. We like mm-hmm. to laugh. We like to be happy. So we do everything in our power to kind of stay that way. And I don't know why this image just came to my head, but I remember having to take a cat to the vet. And that cat, to get him into the carrier, to get him there, to get the thing he needed, suddenly became like an octopus with every appendage sticking out to go, not get in that door, to not get in that little carrier to get to the place he needed to get. We're like that. We're mm-hmm. like, I'm not going in there. You know, it's just, it's scary. We don't sign up for it. You know, we know that James says when you face trials of, you know, we know that there's no if, it's when. But we wouldn't, you know.
Wouldn't willingly do it.
No.
Yeah, we wouldn't choose it.
No, I wouldn't choose to be sick, not knowing whether I'm going to survive to mm-hmm. see my night. I wouldn't choose that. Mm-hmm. No one would choose that.
I think it brings it back around to your metaphor about the gold, where so we will be broken and yielded and pliable.
Yeah.
We want to cut to the chase. I want to be pliable. Yeah. I want to be used by God.
Right.
I don't want to have to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I said in the discussion guide, be honest. Do you think this is a fair or reasonable way for our loving Heavenly Father to create or promote growth in us? Does this feel like love when you're going through a really, really, really heinous fire?
I think that as a mom, I understand from that point of view. I understand when, you know, I discipline my children or give them boundaries, or if I see some behavior in them that I want them to mature out of. I understand from the point of view as a parent that sometimes trials help your children to grow, to mature and, you know, maybe correct some action that needs correction. But when you're the one who's on the other side and you're going through the trial, it doesn't feel fair. I know that it is. I know that God is sovereign and that he is able.
And that he is loving.
That he is loving and that he has my best interest at heart and that, there's a bigger picture that I can't see, but it is, I won't deny that I wish that there was another way.
Okay.
Right. I think hindsight, you would say he couldn't have gotten me here any other way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to go through it.
Right. That's right.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Study with Friends, the place where ladies come together to dig deeper into God's Word. We are so glad you listened today. If you've missed any part of the series or would like to connect with us, please visit us at studywithfriends.org. Once there, you can also learn about the ladies involved in the study, leave a prayer request, or support our ministry. We are listener-supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. Would you prayerfully consider helping to financially steward the ministry of Study with Friends? No amount is too small. You can donate easily online at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Honestly, hearing from you would make our day. We always pass the emails around and celebrate that you cared enough to reach out. And we pray for you too. So if you are blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship in a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. We hope you'll join us next week as we study with friends.